And I want my couples to feel honored, you know, that they were on my calendar just as much as I'm honored that they chose me. And I think that having that whole client experience really helps reflect that.
You are listening to episode 28 of the Level Up Your Wedding Film Business podcast. Sometimes it can feel nearly impossible to book the types of couples that you really want to focus on serving. But attracting and then actually getting those clients to book with you is as much of an art as it is a science. Today's episode is an interview with Joy Alamon of Joy Michelle Photography. And after photographing weddings for 7 years, she has nailed down a formula that works wonders in her own business. I'm your host, Taylor Petrinovich, and at the core of this show, I want you to feel inspired to take your business to the next level. And I want to give you the tools and practical advice to help you along the way. So let's level up together. An Annapolis, Maryland intimate wedding photographer and now YouTuber and educator to photographers, Joy helps photographers attract their dream brides through her course, Hook and Book Brides. She also has a Facebook group called Photo Boss and a private coaching practice. She is married to a cute Colombian named Felipe, and together they have a little girl named Clara. In 2019, Honeybook and The Rising Tide named Joy top 20 on the rise in the category of marketing. Joy shared some amazing information in this episode, and I can't wait for you to hear it. So now, on to the interview with Joy Michelle. Hey, Joy, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today.
Sure, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to chat with you because I started filming weddings a little over 3 years ago. And when you get into something new, you like search everything on YouTube, and I stumbled across your channel. And even though you're a wedding photographer, I still found a lot of your content like applied to me, and I learned a lot from your videos. So I just wanted to bring you on the podcast to talk about something that you kind of specialize in, and that is attracting your dream clients and guiding them through the inquiry all the way through the booking process. So that's the main thing I want to talk to you about today. But first, I would love to hear a little bit about how you got started in photography and just kind of like your origins.
Yeah. So it's funny. Facebook reminded me this week that I photographed my first wedding 7 years ago. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, has it really been 7 years? So that's crazy. So my own wedding actually is what got me into wedding photography. So when I married my husband, Felipe, it was 2012. And I had never really, I think, you know, even Instagram was in its early phases. So I didn't follow a lot of wedding photographers, and I didn't know that this whole world existed. And until this point, I loved photography, but I didn't think you could make a career out of photography unless you did fashion photography, or maybe you worked for like National Geographic or those like JCPenney studios. And so when I met and hired my wedding photographer, that was like the spark, and I was super interested in it. I ended up actually working for her and second shooting for her in the years to come. And then that's just how it all started. And so I did a lot of second shooting and, you know, was hired by a friend of a friend. And then that just snowballed into actually being able to work with strangers and building my brand. And yeah, 7 years later, here we are.
That's so cool. I love that everyone kind of stumbles into it differently. And I think a lot of people, it's their own wedding that kind of like catapults them into it.
I think it's a good experience too, to be on the bride side and experience what it's like to hire your vendor and to trust that person with your wedding day, and just what that feels like. And I think it really contributed to how I built my brand and how I built my client experience because I was so newly married.
Yeah, that's awesome and super powerful, like you said, to be in the bride's shoes. So 7 years later, can you give us a little bit of an idea of where you are now in your business? Like where are you located and where do you serve? What is your price like? What's your style?
Yeah. So now 7 years later, so I am kind of smack dab in the middle of Annapolis, Baltimore, and DC. So those are kind of my three regions that I serve. But primarily I photograph Annapolis classic kind of higher end waterfront weddings. And those are just my favorite. Anywhere near or on the water is my jam. And so I now serve a little bit more of like a fine art film inspired type of bride. And those weddings are, you know, between $7,000 to $10,000 for investment in photography, and they're probably upwards of six figures minimum for the actual weddings themselves. And I am photographing about 10 or less weddings a year now. So it's very much quality over quantity for me. But I definitely photographed more weddings in the beginning of my career. And I'm happy now with the types of clients that I work with now. And it gives me a lot more time to educate and coach and work in my programs and on YouTube. And at the same time, work with the couples that I really love to work with.
Yeah, I love that quality over quantity. And I think that becomes so much more feasible as you kind of progress through your career. And so it's awesome that you've arrived at that point.
Yeah, it's the dream when you're in the beginning and you think, oh my gosh, how am I gonna do the volume that I need at the price point that I am? And it's a process of refining your brand and refining your marketing and really narrowing in on that ideal bride so that eventually you can say no to some clients because you know you can't serve them as well as you can serve other clients, and you're in more of a control position. But it definitely doesn't start out that way. So everyone should know it's a process.
Yeah, for sure. And you really can't speed things up. Like, you have to do your due diligence and kind of take baby steps to get there.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, they say the 10,000 hour rule to become an expert at something. And so, you know, you can't speed that up really, other than to just get to work and, you know, shoot and refine your craft and become excellent at something. And I think that's such an interesting point where I see so many photographers, and maybe, you know, you could speak to the filmmakers, but especially photographers, hoping that they can kind of just like throw money at something to pay for an ad, and it just can't make up for the experience that you will get as a professional working weddings. You know, like that time behind your camera, you can't shortcut that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the biggest pieces of value is experiencing all of the things that could possibly go wrong on a wedding day. And once you've experienced it, you now know how to move forward past it, and like problem solving. And if you have not experienced many issues on wedding days, then you're a little less prepared than someone who has a few extra weddings under their belt.
Oh, 100%. I agree. And I think there's only so much that you can talk about, and then you just have to do it and experience it and navigate it. And, you know, lighting and challenging guests and, you know, weather issues, like you have to experience it.
Absolutely. I wish that a workshop could prepare you, but I really can't.
No.
Cool. So I would love to talk a little bit about your YouTube channel and your journey with that. I love learning from YouTube, and I applaud people who put out all the free content like you do. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So my little brother was the one who said, Joy, you have to start a YouTube channel. And I thought he was kind of crazy. He has a YouTube channel, totally different niche, but he convinced me in, I think it's 2016, it's been a few years, to upload just a basic video of what was in my camera bag, sharing the gear that I used and how I used it throughout a wedding day with examples. And it kind of just snowballed into what now is a weekly YouTube channel upload and a Facebook group called Photo Boss, and kind of just a whole community. And it ranges from, you know, marketing and branding advice to actual gear reviews. And then I even have some videos like following me around on a wedding day, which is really fun to see. But yeah, I'm curious actually what video you found when you discovered my channel.
I wish I could remember, but I mean, it's been probably 3 years ago, but I want to say it had to do with maybe booking clients or branding or something like along those lines. I doubt it was photography related.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't
know. Yeah. I do have a video on tips for working with videographers, and that was a really big hit. And I got a lot of feedback from other filmmakers being like, thank you for making this, because sometimes it's tricky, you know, sometimes it's seamless and other times it feels like you're not on the same page. So I felt like it needed to be made and it needed to be said. And, you know, the overall premise was that like we should be there to serve the couple and check all egos at the door. And, you know, I was happy that it struck a chord with a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I get a lot of questions from my couples about how do I work with photographers? And like my favorite answer is just, we're on your team and we want to provide you with like the best, not only like products at the end of the day, but the best experience on your wedding day. And so at least on my end, like I'm going to do everything in my power to provide that to you.
Yeah. I think that just remembering that on their anniversary, they're going to pull out, you know, their film and their pictures, and we should want them both to be spectacular and not one or the other. Like, we're just telling their story and it's going to become that heirloom. And so I think that, yeah, just being on the same team is so crucial and so huge. And it just makes a huge difference in the experience of working together.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we touched a little bit about how, like, over the course of your career, like refining your brand, refining kind of your, where you're targeting your marketing efforts starts to pay off in the long run. Can we talk a little bit about from the very beginning? And I think that is defining who your ideal client is.
Mm-hmm.
So who is your ideal client?
So my ideal client is a very classic couple that prioritizes family. They don't want to spend their whole wedding day taking pictures. And I totally appreciate that. And at the same time, they want these heirlooms and they want their day to be representative of who they are as a couple and not just have digital files, but some physical heirlooms to pass on. And so, like I said, very classic, very elegant, but fun, really fun people and joy-filled people. And so that was super important to me to dial in on that a little bit. And I think that when we're thinking about our ideal client, it can be kind of an overwhelming concept to have to like come up with this person. But I think so often as solopreneurs, the ideal client is going to be kind of similar to who you are, because we're going to want to work with people that see the world at least somewhat like we see it, because they're really going to appreciate your perspective because you share that perspective, right? So then I think the next step for you after you know kind of who you like to work with or who you are as a person is doing a little bit of market research on your area and seeing what's out there, what venues are out there, and what kind of couples tend to work at those or hire those venues. And so doing that market research and really listening and observing is a crucial step in developing that ideal client. And I think that, you know, this all falls into brand, and brand is defined as a person's perception of a product, a service, an experience, or an organization. And so that's kind of broad, right? Like so often I think we think of brand as colors or fonts or logos. And while visual brand absolutely falls into branding, there's more to it than that. And that's where that customer avatar will come in. And really you're thinking about where you were going to be positioning yourself and putting your stake in the ground in the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that some people have a bit of a fear of repelling people who are not their ideal client, but that's actually beneficial. Do you have anything to say about that?
It is. And it sounds bad at first, you know, to like repel someone, but in a way you have to remember that you're already doing it without even knowing it, you know, and you might as well do it in a strategic way that attracts the type of client you really do want to work with while repelling those that you probably can't best serve. And I think that that falls into how you show up online and not just your visuals. While that is crucial and that is important, but it's what you're saying along with those visuals and your consistency. And so I often talk with photographers in my coaching practice and they'll say, you know, they don't want to maybe do traditional church ceremonies anymore. And so I think, you know, not only do you not show that anymore in your portfolio because you're going to shoot more of what you put out into the world, but you have to replace it with what you do want to be shooting. And so that takes some creativity. And sometimes you're going to lock arms with other professionals that share that same view. And so that's why your network and just building up your connections is going to be crucial and helpful to get you the right people and then repel those that you don't want to serve.
Yeah, I love that. I personally am going through a rebrand. I've like totally changed my coloring of my films from like a moody to like bright and airy and more like film inspired. Shout out to Illume Lutz. And I've just redone my website. So I switched from a WordPress site to Showit.
Yes.
Mind-blowing. I wish I would have known about them a long time ago.
Yeah, I made the switch. Same exact switch. Yeah, it's game changer.
Yeah, if you haven't heard of Showit, go check it out and do just a free trial. Your mind is going to be blown. But anyways, So I'm trying to refine my own personal like marketing efforts and starting to repel certain types of weddings that I've done and try to attract. And I have dubbed the summer of 2020, the summer of styled shoots, because yes. there's obviously a lack of weddings, and I'm currently booked for 8
No way.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy. I'm like planning 2 of them, but I'm trying so hard to like build as much content as I possibly can surrounding more of my ideal client, a little bit more of like a luxury feel. So styled shoots are awesome because they have such like luxurious florals and decor, and everything is highly stylized and curated. Yeah. And so I think that's like a really good strategy for showing what you want to shoot. So anyways, I kind of talk about style shoots a lot on the podcast, and I just am a strong believer.
No, I love it. I agree. I think that's to a certain extent, you have to show your couples and brides what you're capable of. And I think so often, especially in those first couple of years, you know that you're capable of more than what you've been hired for. And it's not at all to bash any of the couples that you've ever worked with, but you know that if you were given certain circumstances and, you know, more opulent florals or some details, you know, like the Mrs. Box and all these other things, that you could totally rock it. And that's, I think, where styled shoots can really come in. But you can also totally elevate those current weddings that you're doing and shoot them very strategically. And especially in my early years, and even now, I would show up early to weddings and bring all kinds of styling elements and really like go the extra mile for those details, because luxury weddings and getting published really, really relies on the detail photographs.
Absolutely. And that can kind of be translated to video too. I know we do shoot details, some more than others, but that can be translated to like getting drone footage and being like extra creative with those kinds of shots where you need the time and the concentration, where you're not under pressure of a timeline. Like, you're in control of your day. And even though the couple may have only booked you for 8 hours, that doesn't mean you are like really restricted to that. Like, you can still show up early, even if you don't tell the couple. And I think that will translate really well into the film and your wedding day, because you're going to be a lot less stressed knowing that you've already gotten those shots.
Yeah. Yeah. I have worked with lots of filmmakers, and they like to show up and just do like scene setting images and, you know, supplementary footage of the venue. And I think it just makes them feel so much less pressure throughout the day, just in case you don't have time to get those. And drone footage is just my favorite. I think it just adds such an extra element to the final video. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's just under promise and over deliver. Like, don't ever do the opposite. Don't under deliver, but you're always welcome to over deliver, and your couple's going to remember that. And it's just going to, and the other vendors will remember too. Those planners and the photographers that you want those referrals from, they'll see you going the extra mile, and they're going to appreciate it, and they'll remember you.
That's very true. Especially if you can get footage of their product or their contribution to the wedding day. I mean, that is huge, and they're going to love that and share you on social media and tag you. And that's all just contributing to more eyes on your business, which is what you want.
Absolutely.
Bring that classic fine art look of film photography to your wedding films. The Illume LUTs offer a rich palette of colors and beautiful soft tones that can help you achieve that gorgeous fine art look that brides absolutely love. I personally use these LUTs for my own wedding films, and from the very first time I used them, I was hooked. They've helped me elevate my brand and my business, and my clients have never been happier. Visit illumeluts.com and enter the promo code LEVELUP15 at checkout to receive 15% off your purchase. That's illumeluts.com and enter the promo code LEVELUP15 to save 15% off your purchase.
So I'd love to kind of transition the conversation to more of a booking process type of scenario. So starting with the very first touch point from a potential client, can you just kind of walk us through what that would look like and best practices to book as many of those inquiries as possible?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think having an effective workflow and steps that you take every prospective client through before you get super busy is crucial. So I like to outline this almost like a timeline, thinking, you know, what would be the start? Maybe a DM into your Instagram inbox, or they might fill out the form on your website. But essentially, this is like the reaching out point where the bride is asking you about your availability and probably your pricing. And so I like to just outline that start point all the way through to the delivery of your final product and beyond. You know, if you're keeping up with that couple or sending them an anniversary gift or something like that, every single part of that would be included. And so I think that having that whole experience outlined and prepping any elements that need to be prepped are going to make this process so much easier. Because one really important element of getting booked by brides is responding really fast and giving them the information that they actually want instead of kind of being elusive about your pricing or your availability, that kind of thing. And so I think that a priority should be getting that contact and getting an in-person meeting or a phone meeting or a video meeting, just so that you can make that personal connection and really hear what they are wanting for their wedding day. And I think so often we're so focused on pushing our own packages or trying to get that booking, which I totally understand, but we miss out on this big listening piece of really understanding what the couple is desiring and what their needs are. And then you can decide whether or not you can best serve them. But if you do think you can best serve them, being able to repeat back to them exactly what it is that they desire and how you can do that for them is really going to position you as the solution. And that's key in the sales portion of our businesses, is that we have to have that trust with our clients where they really do believe that we're going to be the solution to whatever pain point or desire that they have. And so I use this kind of interchangeably, the pain point and desire, because sometimes people say, yeah, but brides, you know, they don't have pain points. This is a good thing. But every bride has that worry about either being in front of the camera, her fiance being in front of the camera, or being able to get enough of the day covered with their budget. Everybody has those pain points. So really uncovering those and listening to those is just crucial to actually converting them into a sale.
Absolutely. And sometimes flexibility is needed on your part. I just booked a wedding for next year, and the couple, they are ballroom dancers. And so their first dance is extremely important to them. And I don't like typically deliver like a full first dance, like with multiple camera angles, but they like really insisted on it. And I also don't typically like do substitutions with my packages, but I allowed them to substitute the Instagram teaser for a full version of their ballroom dance. And they are extremely particular, and they're going to send me a video of their choreographed dance so that I can prepare angles and stuff. But like, I'm actually excited about it because I think it's going to translate really beautifully to a video. And I'm like, yes, I'm on it. I got you. We're going to light it beautifully. Like, so just like you said, like listening, like I could have glossed over the fact that they were ballroom dancers and like not brought it back up, but
yeah, but that's key. And they're going to feel like you really listened and that you get their vision. And so when you deliver that final video, they're going to tell so many people and feel like this was their ultimate performance that they've been waiting for. You know, like this dance is obviously huge to them. And so being able to really understand that, I think, is what closed that deal for you.
Yeah. And it all goes down to, like you said, like listening and then repeating back so that they know that you listen and that you care about their wedding.
And it sounds so small. It sounds so obvious, but I know that I didn't do that in my consultations, you know, years ago. And I know now that I think that's a big reason why my meetings do convert at a higher rate.
Yeah. So do you have any tips for maybe what to respond in the initial inquiry email, or tips for the phone consultations?
So one thing that I like to do inside of my initial inquiry response email is ask them a few questions about themselves, because I really want to draw out who this couple is and what they prioritize about their wedding day. But then I also want to give them a very specific date and time that I'm available and ask them if they're available too, because that will often get a reply. And what I want to do is avoid ghosting. I don't want them to just say, well, I'll get back to her. Eventually we're going to be ready to sit down with her photographer and I'm just not at this moment. But if you give them a very specific time, like, hey, are you available on Tuesday the 12th at noon for a quick phone meeting? They might say, no, but here's when I am available. It just solicits a response, which is what we want, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So that just really helps to make that initial connection. And from there, they may give you another time. They may say, I just want to make sure that you're within my budget. And so I like to give a range of an average investment that a couple would make with me, just because I don't want to waste their time and I don't want to waste my time. And everybody approaches the pricing situations differently, but I would rather them know upfront what an investment might look like. And then we can discuss details of what's included in a package, what those deliverables are. And I also like to kind of plant the seed of an album or that final deliverable, because that's what I want them to be thinking about instead of just a digital product. Because legacy and your images living beyond a digital is very important to me. And so I want it to also be important to my couples.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you see the like in-person or phone meeting as more of like a sales process or more of like a feeling each other out process? Like, what is your like take on that whole thing?
So I definitely approach it as we're getting to know one another. I let them ask questions. Mostly I'm letting them talk. People love to talk about themselves. So I want to know how they met, what they're most looking forward to about their wedding day, who they hired so far, kind of like where are they at in this process, and really whatever they want to tell me. And that really helps draw out who they are. And then they feel like they got to know me a little bit and they got to share a little bit of what's important to them as well. And so as much as it is a sales process, because I think getting to know someone and trusting someone is 100% a part of the sales process, because without the know, like, and trust factor, you will not get a sale. I don't make it pushy and I don't want to be focusing on the numbers, really. About the time when we're getting on the call, I send them all my packages so that they have it. And that way, whenever I do go over that at the very end of the call, I tell them, you have all of this. You don't need to take notes. You don't need to remember all this. And then I just briefly go over what they might need on their wedding day. And I really just leave the numbers on the back end, because I don't want them to think of me as a transactional experience, but rather a personal brand experience, you know?
And I think that also translates to the way that you present your pricing. I don't know how you do it, but I've been revamping the way I do that. I've gone from just kind of listing out like bullet points of like, here's what you get and here's how much money it costs, to like writing out kind of more of like a description and like who this package would be good for. For example, like my top package, like I'm calling it my all-inclusive package for couples who don't want to like worry about missing out on anything. Like, you just get everything, like you're taken care of, like your royalty essentially. So like I try to like feed that, like,
that's genius. And that's messaging, you know, yeah. Because there's going to be the bride that reads that says, yes, I don't want to skimp. I want everything. I want the longest film you have. I want all the second shooters. Like, I want all of it. And then there's other people that, you know, they might have an intimate wedding and they want something a little bit simpler, and that's okay too. But speaking to that person specifically is really smart. I love that. Are you sending that in a software?
So I actually just have a page on my website that I've mentioned on the podcast a few times that I have all of my pricing like displayed, like readily available. And I actually changed that. So now I just have like a starting price. And then I have a page on my website that I don't link to anywhere. So like if you were to type in the URL, you could see it. But then I just send that page.
Oh, I love that, because it's easy to update. It still feels very customizable, but no one's going to know that URL unless you give it to them. So that's great. I've seen that done. And then now I use brochures inside of HoneyBook, which I find they're really beautiful. And then they just auto-populate into proposals. So it makes my life so much easier when it comes to generating a proposal.
That's awesome. Yeah, I use Dubsado, and I think that there's something like similar that I can do. I like the idea of keeping everything on my website, because once they're on that page, like, it encourages them to click around and like remind themselves of who I am and like what my films look like and stuff. So there's so many different ways to do it, and they're all, I'm sure, great. And there's pros and cons to each.
I agree. I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think it's something that we all need to test for ourselves, because each of our audiences and even like geographical locations are going to influence how people like to absorb that kind of information.
Absolutely. And I think that the biggest takeaway is infusing as much of like the value proposition as you can into the way you display it. So if you're looking at it from a couple's perspective, they don't necessarily see like four cameras, professional audio, like, you know what I mean? Like those like technical bullet points, like 4K yes. versus 1080, like they just don't see the value. But what they do mm-hmm. see value in is I'm going to take care of you. Like you're getting a great experience. Like, I don't know, you know,
100%. Yeah. I mean, I would wonder like as the bride, you know, well, how long will the film be? Can I share it on social media? Can I pick my own song? You know, like you're thinking just totally different than like, well, are you shooting on, you know, this kind of gear?
Canon and versus yes. Sony.
Yeah. Yeah. Like how many times are we asked about our gear? I mean, I have been, but not very often.
No, not often.
It's usually other photographers hiring me and they're just curious.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, do you do gifting?
I do. I think gifting is such a crucial part of your client experience. And also if you want to get into a little bit more of a luxury experience or high-end clients, I think especially it's important. But I do incorporate gifting as soon as the package is officially booked and their date is blocked off. I go ahead and I send an immediate gift to them upon booking. And then I like to do a week of the wedding gift, which they don't really know about. And so I'll either send flowers to the work place of the bride or send something to their home together, just like a relax and enjoy your wedding week kind of gift. And that's always really, really well received and they just feel really taken care of. But surprisingly, it's a huge way of how I get featured on their social media and they're always tagging me. And then when I arrive to the wedding, people kind of know who I am because the bride was just talking about how she got, you know, these dozen roses or whatever it was that I sent. And so I just want my couples to feel that, you know, they're getting a year plus long experience and not just someone that shows up for 8 hours on the wedding day and then disappears and then comes back with a file, you know? Yeah.
There's so much value in them knowing that they're taken care of and they're not just a number on your spreadsheet or on the calendar. Yeah, they're really valued. And so I do the same thing. Right now I'm a little behind on my gift giving, but I try to have it like within the first like few weeks after they book me. Oh, yeah. What do you send for client gifts?
So I use a company called Southern Grown Vintage and the owner, her name is Rebecca. And so she was able to custom my gifts. And so I went in and chose a candle and some champagne, like mini champagne bottles. And I think she puts like a plant or some like dried, like a lavender or something like that. And then there's some vow books. So there's like his vows and her vows. And all of that is kind of packaged in a really beautiful way. And she has some seasonal things that she puts in like chocolates or caramels or something like that. And so it's just a really nice compilation of things that they can dive into right away. And a lot of my couples will actually bring that vow book back and they want pictures of it. And that really aligns with my brand because I just love details. I show a lot of details. And so my couples love details too. A lot of times they are commissioning custom stationery. And so they love anything that has calligraphy or a monogram or something like that. And so I try to incorporate that in the gift.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Having it tailored towards the types of clients that you book is brilliant.
Another way to represent your brand, really. What do you do for gifts?
Yeah. It kind of changes each time. Sometimes I'll do like his and her like coffee mugs with, you know, candy or something. It's honestly like depends on whatever I can find at Target that week. But I am looking into, outsourcing that to, I think it's the company's called Meredith and Gray.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I think I may make that jump, but those gifts are pretty pricey. Like the one that I'm interested in, having sent to my clients is like $100. So yeah, it just like, it's going to take a minute for me to pull the trigger with that. But I incorporate that into my pricing. Like it's not like mm-hmm. it's coming out of my pocket. Like I account for that when I create my packages. So I think Absolutely. That's a big fear with people, but it's like, you know, yeah, just be strategic.
You build it in and you think of it almost like your marketing because it really will serve as your marketing. And I think one really undervalued asset that we all have is our current clients. And sometimes we're so focused on the next client and booking out next year and the year after, almost from like this place of like panic and fear, like how am I going to get that next client? When really there are so many potential referrals and amazing glowing reviews in the clients that you currently have. Even if you look at them and you don't feel like they're the most ideal client, you know, they could still love you and you can still serve them with excellence. And so, you know, doing a little thing like a gift for someone, even if you're going to like Home Goods or Hobby Lobby, it just grabbing some things saying like, I thought of you, it just goes a long way.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you can even send like a Starbucks gift card and be like, yes, coffee's on me. Like go on a date.
I love that. I would love that.
It can be so simple.
Yeah, it's so true. Like I think sometimes we see what other creatives are doing and it can be really intimidating and we feel a little bit less than somehow. But I think it's the thought that counts and just having something built in to your marketing that you're unexpectedly showing up and, you know, that under promise and over deliver, just like you were saying before, I think that's just good business and that's really never going to go away. People just want to feel seen and like they matter and they're more than just, you know, June 6th on your calendar. They want to remember that you cared about them. And I think that's huge with millennials now is that, you know, we want to get something that not everybody else has. And I think as wedding professionals, we can't serve everyone. We can only serve that handful of people that year. And so making those couples feel really special is authentic. They really are the only ones that we could take on that one day. I know personally, I don't have associates. So that's the only wedding I can shoot that Saturday. And I want my couples to feel honored, you know, that they were on my calendar just as much as I'm honored that they chose me. And I think that having that whole client experience really helps reflect that.
Okay, so I have been following you for a while and I've been seeing a lot of like hype around your course. You have a course called Hook and Book Brides and you have a masterclass that kind of goes with that. So I'd love for you to talk to us a little bit about what you offer.
Yeah, so my program Hook and Book Brides helps photographers to attract and book dream clients consistently. So getting away from being ghosted, trying to help them just stand out in their marketplace and do this without ads. And I'm not against ads, but I want the foundations to be there before those ads come into place. So it's kind of like adding fuel to an already roaring fire. And so I think this program would be really great for videographers too, because just like photographers, we serve the same clientele and have a long experience with those couples. And we need to be thinking about both brand strategy and marketing strategy. And as I've worked with creatives, especially in the wedding industry, I often see an overemphasis on one or the other. So oftentimes there's, you know, a huge emphasis on branding and then not enough information on how you're getting new eyeballs on your business, how you're converting them into sales. And then on the flip side, I see sometimes creatives just really pounding the pavement when it comes to marketing and they think they're just one ad away from being where they want to be in business, but they're missing the brand element. And so when I went to craft this program, I knew it had to include both pieces. And so that's exactly what it does. And so it's a video program. And I think a really good way for your listeners to get a good feel for if this could be a good fit for them would be to watch my masterclass. It's totally free. I actually just delivered it live last week and there's an instant replay link I'll give you for your show notes section. But essentially it is my simple 5-step framework for attracting and booking dream brides, which I know photographers need, videographers need, and it's just going to help walk you through where there could be a lot of gaps going on in your marketing. And you might know that you have one area that's really working and you're killing it in, and then others, it just feels like you keep getting ghosted. And so this is going to help fill in some of those gaps.
I love that. And even if you're listening to this and you feel pretty confident with where you are at as far as the branding and the marketing goes, I still think it's really worth, at the very least, having a refresher. Or even if you do get just one or two takeaways, it's worth your time, especially right now with all the COVID stuff and we're all just kind of at home. So take advantage of all of the educational resources at your fingertips because I think it'll really pay off.
Yeah, I've been diving into new courses and really trying to invest back into my business during this time because it is an unexpected time off. As much as we don't want it, it is nice to refocus on some areas that might not have been getting some attention in my business. So this is just a good time for that.
Well, Joy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I had a great time chatting with you.
Oh my gosh, me too. I really appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the podcast. If you want to learn more about Joy, you can find her on Instagram at Joy Michelle. I will also link all of the resources we mentioned in the show notes, including a link to her YouTube channel, her course, and her free masterclass. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. And until next time, friends, just keep pushing forward.